that gluttony is a sin. Overeating is a sin. It is the most accepted Christian sin in the church today. There are many others. There are others, rather. But this is the main dog. This is the main one. And this is ingrained in us and has been for years. Pastors don't even mention it. Pastors don't even preach on it. Thank God that Dr. Rick Warren, he came up with the Daniel plan. Thank God for Brother Rick Warren, but it hadn't helped him much. I saw him the other day. The Daniel plan has not helped him much. Great diet. Great foods that you should eat. I was introduced to this thing called, made out of little bonza beans or whatever, hummus. I never heard of hummus until I heard it from Dr. Rick Warren. But bless his heart, I saw him with a Catholic priest the other day, and sitting down in a chair, the priest was thin, but he was not. Don't get mad at me, brother. You know it's the truth. And so, if you just deal with the food, and okay, eat this and eat that, what we're going to do, what most of us gluttons are going to do in the church, we eat the good stuff. We eat the hummus, but we eat the whole pan, whole thing of hummus. We unload the whole hummus container onto the salad. You're only supposed to get a teaspoon or a spoon. That's what they tell you. For to taste it, not consume it. Hummus is good for you, but not too much of it. Beans are good, but not a whole pot of beans. Not three bowls of beans. Brown rice is good for you, but not three plates of rice. So we need to see this as a sin. And only when we see this as a sin will we repent as truly born-again Christians. In the verse that we have selected to begin this long-term discussion on gluttony, the chief, comfortable, acceptable Christian sin, and nobody has loved it more than me. Nobody has enjoyed it more than moi. But it's wrong. Paul says their end is destruction. Who is he talking about? Well, in Philippians 3, Paul expresses his desire to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark. Paul was not a lazy, gluttonous Christian, a lazy glutton. He was not content to remain where he was spiritually. He knew that God had better things for him. In contrast, the they of verse 19 are those who are not willing to strive to achieve the high calling of God in Christ Jesus through sacrifice, through prayer, through obedience, through faith. These are the lazy, glutton Christians. And these are real people whom Paul is talking about. Among other things, which we will get into in the near future, Paul characterizes them as being slaves to their bellies. That coincides with what Dr. Wiersbe talked about, how they made their belly their god, their little g-god. They worship food and the pleasure of food. That matches up with what Dr. Zuck and Dr. Walford talked about, how that gluttony is a wicked sin. It's nothing to brag about. It's nothing to be proud about. Is just as wicked as any other sin. And God is just as concerned about us committing this sin as any other sin. So you have homosexuals saying, well, what about the gluttony and the obesity in the church? Fat preachers are telling us to control ourselves and not commit homosexuality. And of course, I believe that all of us preachers who do that are right. But yet, they are thin and in shape. For some reason, they like to keep themselves in shape, the homosexuals. Now here we are, obese. And so they say, well, I don't want to hear what they got to say. Look at how fat they are. This is what they say about us people. Not only homosexuals, but all other people who don't want to come to God. I don't want to become some fat jelly bean, jelly roll. Look at these Christians. While they're in there eating a salad, they see the Christians go to the bar and get everything but salad. And in a hurry and with a determination. Listen to me very carefully. Is everybody all right? Listen to me very carefully. There's nothing more disgusting. And if I feel this way, you know the thin ones feel this way. The zeros and the fours and the fives and the sixes. There's nothing more disgusting than seeing a person disgustingly obese to the point where they can barely get their clothes on and stuff is hanging down, making a beeline into a restaurant like if they don't get there, they're going to die. You can say amen or me, I can care less. I know I'm preaching the truth. If I feel that way, and I am that way myself, you know there are other people out there who might want to get saved, but they don't want to become a big fat jelly roll. Soft. They'll call you soft. Soft around the middle section. If that's what being a Christian is, I don't want to be it. See, this is I'm dealing with the main issue, and that is our obesity damning souls to hell? These lazy bones, these people who are couch potatoes, who can sit there all afternoon eating Twinkies. I'm not talking to young people. You shouldn't do it unless you're fat. If you're thin as a rail, eat, man. Enjoy yourself. But just understand, after a while, by and by, it's going to start showing on you. So you need to start eating healthily now. And parents ought to be ashamed of themselves not telling their children that they're headed towards diabetes. Not trying to feed them and help them eat the foods that the doctor is telling you to eat now that you should have been eating. Drink plenty of water. Eat salads. Eat all the vegetables. Stop eating all this red meat and fried chicken, church's chicken. And I love Chick-fil-A as a Christian organization. But some of us as Christians, we go there too much. And we know it. And some of us, especially those of us who are obese and have diabetes, ought not to ever buy the waffle fries, no matter how good they taste. They might want to put something on the menu for obese people, one waffle fry for you for 10 cents. Well, a dollar. You know they're going to charge a dollar for one waffle fry. If you're not too obese, you can have three. But you can't have a whole bag. And that's the first thing you sink your teeth in, not the chicken sandwich. And you don't want to have anything to do with the grill sandwich. They are comfortable where they are. And that is what we must not be if we want to overcome the sin, the iniquity, the transgression of gluttony, the gluttony sin in our lives. We can no longer be comfortable with it. That very comfortable, acceptable Christian sin. The sin we commit while we are fellowshipping and complaining about our illnesses, complaining about our sicknesses, while we're stuffing our face with 5 pieces of fried chicken. Yes, y'all pray for me now, because I got to go to the doctor tomorrow. Pray for me in my health in the Lord. While you consuming a chocolate sundae. What are you going to the doctor? Well, you know, I got some diabetes complications. And say with a straight face, after consuming plates of food. Oh, yeah, I know about that. What the doctor got you on? Metformin? Oh, yeah, I was on that too, but they're going to move me up to another one now, honey. They're going to move you on up to a grave. That's what they're going to move you up to. That's what they're going to move. That's what the doctor's going to move you up to one day. He said, there's no more medication for you. You're going to die. Pray for my strength in the Lord. No, we need to pray that you put that fork and that spoon down and stop eating fried chicken and apple pie a la mode. It's mighty quiet up in here. That's all right. Say amen or oh me. Amen or oh me. We must say with Paul, I want to put this behind me and press on to something better in my life. Some of us have deceived ourselves by saying, well, I'll go on a Daniel fast for about 40 days. And no, baby. You need to go on the Daniel fast for about 4 years. Okay? You need to change your diet altogether for the rest of your life if you want to live. They told President Clinton, you're going to die if you keep on eating those Big Macs and eating meat. He had a bypass surgery or whatever. He said, you need to eat vegetables. That's it. Maybe occasionally a little salmon, but that's it. And cut out all fried foods and oil and all of that and butter. I can't believe it's not butter. Whatever it is. And President Clinton, he does not look like the picture of health, but he's still living. He's still kicking. And he would have died if he had continued doing what he was doing. So, the first day of this series, and I'm going to do this going forward, I'm going to give you practical steps of things that I'm doing, that I am going to do. And encourage you to do. And we can do it together by the grace of God. And so the first day I told you that Oprah has some new dishes coming out. I would encourage you to, when they come out, to try them. And don't eat 2 or 3 of them at a time. Just eat one for breakfast, one for lunch, one for dinner, something like that. Drink your shake in the morning and eat one for lunch. And today I'm going to tell you, I was going to tell you this yesterday, but I had to cut the message short. Here's what I am going to do going forward by the grace of God. Now I'm going to eat today a regular meal. This is a birthday weekend for 3 different birthdays, and we're going to enjoy today. But and I have been doing this ever since September the 1st up until my birthday, my daughter's birthday, and my son's birthday on Friday, September the 15th. We had a great birthday meal that included meat. And we had a little bit yesterday, and we're going to have a little bit today. But I'm going back on Monday from September the 1st to the 15th. I did not have any meat whatsoever of any kind, chicken, fish, steak. And some of you say, ooh, I can't do that. I'm not telling you to do what? I'm not telling you to do it. I'm suggesting it to you. Starting tomorrow, I'm going back to that. And I probably won't eat any meat, fish, or chicken until my next to my baby daughter's birthday, which is around the end of October. And then I'm going to go back on it and stay on it until Thanksgiving. Now, all bets are off on Thanksgiving week, so just let me just enjoy myself as I normally do. But even then, I'm going to cut back on my portions by the grace of God. And then I'm going to ride all the way through to Christmas. And then from New Year's Eve, thereabouts, to the end of the year, I'm just going to enjoy myself and eat some meat, some turkey, some beef, some fish, some chicken. And so forth. That's what I plan on doing. I would encourage you to do the same. And I'm going to tell you what I call this in maybe 2 weeks. And share it with you. Maybe in 2 weeks to a month. You'll be hearing about it. And so tomorrow morning, by the grace of God, I had a shake this morning, a vegetable shake. Spinach, kale, tomato. I'm preaching in the strength of that. Even now, carrots. You know, carrots are good for your sight. You need to, not too much of it, but I drank a shake like that this morning. Put some beets in it, and so forth. I would encourage you to do something like that as well. I have a friend who lives by SlimFast. They drink two bottles of SlimFast and eat something, a reasonable meal one time. That's a good way to go as well, if you can handle all the milk. And so by the grace of God, I'm going to eat, after that shake, a vegetarian meal, as I have been doing since September the 1st, up until my birthday and my children's birthday, September the 15th, for lunch. Every day except for Sunday. I may do something vegetarian on Sunday, but I'm going to leave it open for some chicken or some salmon or something like that on Sunday. And I'll tell you why in the next few weeks, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Of course, the weeks of Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, as I have said, I won't be doing that. But this is a lifetime style change for me. Normally I fast for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Daniel fast now. I used to do it with just water and juice, but I'm too old for that now. I can't do that anymore. I do that once a year, and I'll be doing that from the beginning of January, probably January the 10th. I'll be going on another 40-day Daniel fast, and by the grace of God, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live. But this time around, I'm going to make a lifestyle change where meat of any kind is going to be limited, very much so, to just one day a week. And I'm still going to enjoy that, and I'll tell you why, and so forth. And then for dinner, by the grace of God, I'm going to eat a salad. As I told you, Friday, September 15th, was my birthday, my baby daughter's birthday, and my son's baby son's birthday, Daniel Ezekiel and Daniel Elizabeth. So I did eat some meat then, and we're enjoying this birthday throughout the weekend. And we enjoyed ourselves. It's fun. I loved it. And by the grace of God, I'll be sharing more practical things like this at the end of each message going forward. And each message will be much shorter going forward as well. I wanted today to lay that foundation. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we cannot do this without you. I thank you for your compunction. I thank you for your conviction upon our hearts about this obvious sin that is a shame before you. It's a shame before heaven. It's a shame before a dying and lost world. I know that I am personally ashamed of my big stomach that comes from years of gluttony, of eating too much. And I am personally ashamed of praise teams and choir boxes and pulpits that are filled with obese people. I mean, beyond measure. 400, close to 500 pounds. And I am saddened and that many are losing their lives early because they are carrying too much weight. I thank you, Lord, for my mother who fought this battle, and she has won. My siblings have not won, except for my brother. I have not won, but it is something that by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I am going to win. My dad did not win it. Many great preachers in the past are dead, and they died early because of this sin of gluttony. And we would say it's enjoying life too much, but Lord, we cannot even say that anymore. It's just evil, it is wrong, and it is an affront against you. And it is a shame before a dying and lost world. Have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins and help us to repent and to turn from our evil ways and to humble ourselves and not to be proud about our gluttony anymore. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen and amen. God bless you.